Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Lamed Ches. Begin on the bottom of the daf Lamed Zayin and Beis, two lines up at the bottom of the Amid. But the Gemara continues in a related discussion in the previous daf, where we had Machlekes Nardoi and Rava regarding someone who sells a certain type of trees in a field. Although we said that in general, if someone sells three trees in the field, the one who buys the trees gets the land underneath, two trees he doesn't. On that, there was a discussion between Nardoi and Rava, what's the halacha if he sells it compact, where there's more trees condensed than usually is, where that's where Rav had said that there's going to be a unique halacha that you're not going to get the karka, which was in contrast to the Nardun, they explained that halacha of Ritzufin regarding the halachas of Chazakas. Now the Gemara continues on this topic regarding someone who sells a tree, what the halacha is. So I'm Nardun, another halacha from Nardun. They say, Hayman de Zavin Diklo Lachavri. Someone sells a tree, one palm tree to his friend. So the consumer acquires the land, mishfule atahima, for the land that's underneath the tree, going all the way down to the depth, all the way down as far as the land will go, to the depth of the land. Now, the Chiddush in Nardoin teaching is that even though it's a singular tree, and we learned, as we mentioned in the previous staff at length, that when there's two trees, there is no land that's sold in the sale of the trees. However, that's only regards to the area around the tree, that then the consumer doesn't have any of that area like it is if he buys three trees, where then he gets the areas between the trees and around them, the amount that you have to go with your tools to get with the baskets and collect the fruits of the tree. But beneath the tree, Nardoin say that he does have, and the reason for that is because since the purchase of the tree is for the produce, which is to be able to get the nourishment from the ground, which is beneath it, so therefore say the Nardoin that even if the tree will die, you'll be able to plant another tree in the exact same place. Where it's coming to teach us, moreover, not only that he could continue planting because he gets the ground underneath, but also that the owner of the field cannot dig beneath the area of the tree, even to a depth of 1,000 amos, because that right of the tree was acquired to him, the tree, and whatever is right underneath that, going all the way down until the deepest of the depth. So now Doin says that ownership of that ground is owned by the one who purchased that singular tree. And that the Gemara continues on Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Maskev LaRava. Rava asks, why is it that the one who purchased the singular tree acquires the ground beneath the tree? We learned, and this is what he's basing his question on, that we learned in the Mishnah that someone who buys even two trees does not acquire the land at all, it seems like he doesn't acquire. Now, if you're going to ask, but if the whole purpose was of the acquisition of the tree was to be able to maintain it with the ground that's underneath it, so it comes out, and that's what seemingly the logic of Nardoin is, that the guy purchased not only the tree, but the ground that's beneath the tree too, which is the nourishment of the tree. And therefore, the Nardoins were saying, so you could be able to plant another tree in that same place when the original tree dries up or is cut down. And that says, Rava, no. V'lei malei, let the seller tell the buyer, krokama derishka, which literally means garden saffron, which saffron is a type of herb, zvinilach, that's what I have sold to you. In other words, it was normal for them to sell this type of saffron, which is the garden variety, in the ground, and to leave it there until it was actually completed and done and matured. Then the buyer would take it and take it out of the ground. So essentially what he's saying to him is that the tree that I sold you, I sold it to you for the produce of the tree. I didn't sell you the ground that the tree is on. Rather, I only gave it to you that you can maintain your tree in my ground as long as you need the ground until it dries up, which is the equivalent of the case of karkam, which is that you didn't give you the ground, I just let you maintain the karkam until it's done, then you take out your karkam, which is the tree that you bought. Now, once your tree dries up, so then the land doesn't help you anymore for the payris that I'm selling you. So, akur karkama derishka bazil. Take out your garden saffron, in other words, just like by the garden saffron, after it fully matures and there's no more pre, it's the conclusion of the pre, then it's taken out and he cannot plant another garden saffron in its place. So to you cannot plant another tree in its place. Take your, quote, garden saffron, which is the equivalent of the tree that I'm selling you, and now that it's done, it dried up, take it and leave. You cannot plant another tree. That's Rav's question on the halacha of Nardoins. So Elam Rav, rather Rav explains that when would you say the halacha of Nardoins? That when someone buys a singular tree, that he acquires the ground beneath the tree? Not in general. In general, he could tell him, no, it's like karma derishka, and you just take your tree. It was only that singular tree. But rather, bebomach mas taina. It's when he comes with a claim. He claims to the seller, you explicitly sold to me not only the tree, but the ground beneath it. That was what we made up, which would allow me to plant another one in its place. Moreover, you wrote for me a document. And I've been here for more than 3 years consuming what's called the years of chazakah. And I wasn't careful in my documentation more than 3 years. Where therefore, that's why, says Rav, it's not similar to the Kokama Derishka. You're right. Generally, of course, the seller could say it's just like Kokama Derishka. But here the buyer is claiming that you sold me the land too. Now, I just don't have any documentation. But it's after 3 years, I really were machzik in the ground. And therefore, that's where he would get to maintain the ground beneath it too and be able to replant his tree as long as he wants to. Now, this halacha of Rava, Amalei Mar Kashisha, Berid of Chizlar Vashi, he asks, now, if that's the case, that, as Rav is saying, that someone that purchases a singular tree is believed with this claim to say that, oh, he had sold me the land too. It's just been already more than 3 years, so I don't have my documentation anymore. And if he could continue planting new trees when the old one dies, so then the question actually becomes then, ve'ikor kama derishka zavanlei, but then if he literally sold him like a korkama derishka, in other words, if he sold him just in general, a tree for its fruits, and he did not specify that he's selling him the land, where then the halach is as rubber holt nalik in ardoin, that he does not get the land, so then if it dries up or gets uprooted, you're not allowed to plant a new one in this place. So then the question is, so then my havaleth, so then what should be for the seller, lemevet, to do that this buyer should not come with what's called a tainu, with a claim, and plant a new one in its place? Because every consumer who really bought it only for the fruits, not with the specification of getting the land too, will claim after 3 years that, oh, he had told me that he was selling me the land too. And we believe him with the claim you're saying because he's been there already more than 3 years and he doesn't have to have documentation after 3 years. But what should the seller have done if he only sold it for the trees, for the fruits, for more than 3 years? What's he going to do? Every guy who does that is going to lose out and the buyer is going to claim that he sold him the field too for the land that's underneath the tree also. Then it's the Gemara, no, Iboyle Limchuye. The seller should have protested within every 3 years to notify that he did not sell him the land and he only sold him like a Kokama Derishka, like the garden saffron concept. Where then the buyer could not claim anymore after 3 years to say, oh, I had a documentation and they lost it. Because since the seller protested, it was what's called didimacha, then he should have been careful in his documentation, as we explained in previous stafim. Once there's a protest, then you can say, oh, I wasn't careful. You knew that you were being contested. And proves the Gemara this concept. Because if you don't say this idea that such a macha, which is really like only like a partial macha, is not a macha, in other words, because you're going to say that, wait a second, since right now the guy who's eating the fruits of the tree, right this moment on the ground, he is allowed to be here in this tree. So what is the buyer protesting? He's just saying, he's allowed to be here eating the fruits of the tree. I just want you to know that, but the land is not his, because he's going to claim after 3 years that I sold him the land too. I just want you to know it's not. If you can entertain to say that it's not a macha, because what would be a macha? Macha would be, this guy's a thief. Get him out of here. I'm going to take him to court tomorrow. The guy's like, what are you talking about? I bought this field from you. That's a macha. But here where he's not kicking him out, he's saying, no, he's allowed to eat from it. But I just want you to know like a partial macha, because just that the land's not his. So says the Gemara that if you can entertain that would not be considered a macha, which as we explained, that's really the macha that the Gemara is answering he should have made, then hanimashkanta de surah, then what's known as the collateral, the security of surah, of that place, where the custom bahachi, they would write when someone would lend someone a certain amount of money. Then they would take security from the borrower. Moreover, they would take the fruits of that land which they have as security, and they would consume the produce and keep on diminishing the amount of the debt until it was all finished, and then he would just come back to the field and he wouldn't have to pay up his debt anymore. So, and that was to alleviate the problem about ribis, about interest, because he would be getting back the loan and he would be getting back the payers too, which would be interest on the loan. So the custom hachi, they would write in the documentation that this lender really doesn't own the field, it's just a mashkin. The b'mishlim shenaya ilan, at the end of this amount of years, tepik aradah b'leiches, if the land's going to go back to the borrower, who is the rightful owner, without money, he's not going to owe anymore the debt of the loan to the lender. Now, that the Gemara's question is, ikavishli lishtar mashkanta, but if the lender, after 3 years, will conceal the document that it's just a mashkin by him. It's after 3 years, he's going to say, I bought this field. Look, I've been here more than 3 years. No one has protested me being here. No. The reason why no one protests is because he's allowed to, because it's a mashkin. But he's going to make believe that it wasn't the mashkin that he bought it. So ask the Gemara, Hachanami de Mehemen, you're going to tell me that the lender would be believed to claim that he is the rightful owner? And if you're going to say that, Misakni Rabbanim Milsa de Asi Bela de Pseida? So this Mashkanta Desur is actually a rabbinic injunction, again, as we said, to avoid the problems about ribbis. So you tell me the Rabbanim would institute something that would ultimately cause a loss to any person who the Mashkanta Desur is more than 3 years, where now the lender could now claim that it's owned by him? Ella rather. Obviously, they obviously instituted something that would allow the borrower that he shouldn't just lose his field by having the mashkin by the lender more than 3 years. Because he should have protested. If he would just say, which is a partial protest, he's allowed. Yeah, the guy's allowed to be here now, but I just want you guys to know that this is not his because he bought it. It's his because it's a mashkin. It's going to come back to me. And that would be a valid protest, obviously, because the Rosh Rabbanu would be instituting something that would create a loss for the borrower. Says the Gemara, that's the same idea we're answering over here. You're right. It could be that he's selling him Kukama Dereshka, but then the guy's going to claim that it was sold to him even for the land underneath. No, you should have protested that, yes, he's allowed to eat from it now, but I just want you to know it's only for the fruits, not for the land. And then that macha would have been a valid macha, as long as it's done within every 3 years. That would take care of the problem about the guy claiming that it was sold to him, not just the tree, but even the land underneath, which again is like Rav and like Nardoins, who said that you automatically do get the land underneath. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues on this theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the halacha of making chazaka in a piece of property, in a piece of real estate. Now, that the Rashbam brings from the Eretz Yisrael Gemara, that Rabbi Elazar says that even when there's two different provinces, two different places like Shlomi and Navarro, and the Jordan separates between the two of them, and a person could see someone else on the other side of the river taking possession of his field, it's not going to be a chazaka until it's together with him in the same city, in the same country. Rav says the primary chazaka is when the guy gathers in the produce, where even if he sees him plowing and reaping and winnowing and threshing and the gathering and selecting, but he doesn't see him gather in the peiros, so that's not going to be a chazaka until he actually sees him gather in the peiros. That's what the Rashbam introduces from the Talmud Yerushalmi. But now we explain our Mishnah, which talks about the same halachas regarding what is considered a chazaka and what would be considered a mecha in regards to establishing that if this guy was here for 3 years and no one said anything, must be that he's the rightful owner. So says the Mishnah, Sholosh Aratzis, there are three different lands, areas in Eretz Yisrael, l'chazaka that relate to the halachas of chazaka, that each area of this part of Eretz Yisrael considered distinct one from the other regarding this halacha of cheskes sholosh onim, as we'll later on explain. In other words, that there are these three lands in Eretz Yisrael that are considered distinct one from the other regarding the halachas of chazakas, as if they are foreign lands, and therefore, if the owner of the land is in one of these lands, and someone else would take possession of one of his lands that is in one of these other areas, it would not be considered a chazaka. What are these three different areas? They are Yehuda, called Judea, Veva HaYarden, which is Transjordan, the other side of the Jordan River, and the Hagalil and the Galilee. These are three different distinct areas, and they're considered different lands, as we'll see the ramifications of that. So for example, Hoya, if let's say the owner of the land was Behuda, he was in the area of Eretz Yisrael called Judea. The Hichzik Begalil, and he had a piece of property in the Galilee, and someone else was taking possession of that piece of land for 3 years without anyone having protested. Or the other way around, Begalil, if the owner's in the Galilee, the Hichzik Behuda, and someone takes possession of his land in Judea, says the Tanakama, Eina Chazaka. The person, although he's been there for 3 years, which is seemingly the halacha of our previous Mishnah, the topic of our parak, he's been there 3 years, no one said anything, he's been consuming all the produce and so on, it's not a chazaka, as the Gemara will explain the reason. That the idea of it is that Judea and the Galilee are considered generally like areas that there's always what's called a cherem. There's always warring factions, and therefore there's not so common that caravans, people will be going from one of these places to the other place. And therefore, you have the following ramification. If the owner of the land would protest, there it wouldn't be considered a protest. Why? Because no one's going to hear what he says to repeat it to the machzik who is in that other land, that this guy had protest and that he should be careful with documentation because, as we said, caravans are not common. Even if he makes a big tumult where he is over here in the Galilee, in Judea, they're not going to hear about it. So therefore, since he cannot protest, in other words, his protest will not work, so therefore the ramification is even if he does not protest, he does not lose by being silent, and therefore the machzik should have been careful in his documentation, even if it's more than 3 years, because he knows that the owner of the land who's in that other area cannot protest. because even if he would, it wouldn't get to his ears and he wouldn't hear anything anyway. So because he wouldn't hear about it, so therefore, it's not like he's not being meicha, so therefore the chazakah is not a chazakah, which is based on some part that the real owner wasn't meicha, and therefore it's not a chazakah, and he would still have to hold on to his documentation. Now, but says the Tanna Kamma, achi imay b'medina achas, until the owner and the machzik are in the same province. So for example, if let's say the owner of the land was in Yehuda in one city, and the machzik was taking possession of his land in another city in Judea, in the same province, but in a different city, since there are caravans, there are people that are constantly coming and going in the same province of Judea. So then the real owner who heard about it should have protested. And the fact that he didn't protest, it's his loss, and then it's going to be considered a chazakah after 3 years. That's the Tanna Kamma. Amar Yehuda, he disagrees. And he says that actually there is no demarcation, as the Tanna Kamma is saying, regarding these three different areas regarding the halacha of chazakah. It's not true. Even if, let's say, he was in the Galil and someone else made a chazakah in Yehuda, it would be a chazakah. And even if, let's say, the owner was in Aspamye, in Spain, which is a year's distance from Eretz Yisrael, and someone was taking possession of his land in Eretz Yisrael, it would be a chazakah. Now, actually, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the reason why the chazakah of 3 years was such a long time was because, as he explains as follows, says, they didn't say this whole halacha that a chazakah in a piece of property has to be for 3 years. Ella, you know why? That you have to have a measurement that if the owner was in Spain, and someone else is taking possession of his land, shana, meaning 1 year, meaning in the first year, the word gets out that this guy took possession of this guy's field. So so that there should be enough time that people could go ahead and notify the owner of the land, which will take a shan, will take a year just to get to him, and that in the third year, it'll take a year to get back, that he'll get back within the third year, and then he'll be able to protest. That's the whole reason why you need 3 years in the first place. Now, the Gemara will explain if that's actually the halacha that Yehuda requires, that he has to come back and a protest that the owner makes has to be directly in front of the machzik himself, or not. Now, the idea is that more than a year's distance of Eretz Yisrael, it's not normative for someone to distance from his house, from his property that he has in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they institute only according to what is common, where Spain, which is a year's distance, okay, that we're going to talk about something even further in the times of the Talmud, where it would take even more than a year, although there's such a feasibility, but the common was up to max of a year. Now, so therefore, the reason of Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't as we explained the previous daf, that the reason why chazakah is only after 3 years, because it's only up until then that a person is careful with his documentation. But rather, as he explains in the Mishnah, the Kadesh Yehei, that the reason of the chazakah according to Yehuda is because a person actually doesn't allow someone to consume the produce of his land without permission, even for one moment, and be silent. Now, so then why was a chazak only after 3 years? The reason is because sometimes the me'ar, the real owner who's contesting, he lives very far, and it's going to take that amount of time till it's for that one moment that he can then finally protest. But says Rashbam, if let's say the me'ar was in the city, it actually would be a chazak right away, as the Gemara actually tells us later on, daf me'malaf me'malaf, that according to Yehuda, the chazak is immediate. The 3 years is only because a guy has to start eating it. And then people will hear, oh, it's in the first year, it'll take a year to get to him, and then it'll take a year to get back, so you're already 2.5 years, maybe moving towards three. That's why you need that amount of time, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But there's no problem about being in the Galil and being Yehuda. That's not a significant factor, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara asks, Maika Sarvat Tanna Kamma, what does the Tanna Kamma of Rabbi Yehuda hold? What's his understanding why the halacha of Cheskes Gimel Shon will not apply if the owner, let's say, is in Yehuda and the machzik is in the Galilee? As the Gemara explains, if the Tanna Kamma holds that the mecha, that the owner of the land protests regarding the machzik, is even chaloy b'fanav, is even not directly in front of the face of the machzik. So, for example, let's say both of them live in the same city, but the owner protests in front of two people in the marketplace, in the street, not in front of the machzik. And even so, havi mecha, it would be considered a valid protest. Why? The guy, he didn't tell it to the guy. What does it help? Very simply, because what's known as the concept of chavrusli, your friend has a friend and his friend has a friend, there's something called telephone, and ultimately the machzik will hear about it. And therefore he should have been careful with the documentation, and from the fact that he wasn't careful, and it's after 3 years he doesn't have documentation, so it's his loss. Therefore the Mishnah taught that It said until he's with them in the same province, which because that tells us that as long as they're in the same province, it's going to be a macha, even though they're not in the same city, because they don't have to be in the same city. He could tell one guy, and ultimately the word will get to this guy's ears. That asks the Gemara, if he holds macha shalem b'fan is a macha, then afil Yehuda b'galil nami, then even if, let's say, the owner was in Yehuda, and the one who was mazik was in the Galil, it should be a macha. Because you said that it will ultimately get to him. So what's the difference if he's in Yehuda and he's in the Galil? And ikasav macha shalem b'fan of lev macha. And if you're going to say that, no, the Tanakama holds that if you don't protest right in front of him and tell it directly to him, it's not going to be a valid protest, as seemingly we learned in the Mishnah, because if he's in Yehuda and he was mazik in the Galil, it's not going to be a chazaka. Then afil Yehuda b'Yehuda. Then why is it only if it's in different province? And even if they're in the same province, but in a different city, namiloi. It should also not be considered a valid macha. So why does the Mishnah tell us, achei imayim medina, that it's enough that they're in the same province? But why? You should have to tell it directly to him, even if they're in the same province, you should still have to be able to, it shouldn't be valid. You should have to tell it them directly to him. So Amr Baba Bamamal Omar Rabbi says, Lo'ilam kisavar mechosh lebefan of hav mecha. Truthfully, the Tanakama holds that a protest, even if it's not done directly to his face, is going to be a valid protest. And that's why the Mishnah taught, Atriyehi may be Medina, that it's enough that if they're in the same province, even though it's not even in the same city, it's going to be a valid mecha because word will get them. Now, then the question is, so then even if one's in Yehuda and one is in Galil, it should be a mecha because ultimately word will get there. Explains Rav, but our Mishnah is talking about during a time of warring factions, that there is discord between the people in Yehuda and the people in the Galil. And therefore, it is not common for people to go from one to the other. There's no caravans going. And therefore, if the guy's going to protest, let's say in Yehuda, the word will not get to the guy who's in the Galil, who's taking possession of this guy's field, to be careful in his documentation. And therefore, it's not going to be considered a valid macha. Now, so the logic continues. Since the original owner's macha is not going to be a valid macha, so that also then extends and makes that the chazaka of the purchaser is also not going to be a chazaka, because the whole reasoning of the cheskes gemashon that it requires is because the machzik could make a claim and say, wait a second, why didn't you protest? I would have held on to my documentation after 3 years. I'm like, okay, why should I hold on to my receipts? But here in this situation, the lekeach cannot make such a claim because he couldn't protest because it's not going to be macha anyway. So what do you mean I didn't protest? It wouldn't help anyway. So therefore, that's the understanding of halacha the Mishnah where there's a cheirim between Yehuda and the Galil. So yes, it's not going to be a chazaka because it wouldn't be macha anyway and it's not going to be macha. So therefore, it's not going to be a chazaka. Now, then the question is, u'mayshna Yehuda b'Galil denakat? Then why did the Mishnah talk specifically about three different lands, Yehuda and Galil and Eva Yarden, which we said from the Talmud Yerushalmi that over a river is always going to be considered problematic to create a chazaka? But since you explained the halacha of the Mishnah at a time of Cherem, so then that should apply to any government, that any time there's warring faction between the two countries. So the Mishnah should have said, any lands that are separate for the halachas of Cherem, meaning at a time of Cherem, that then the halacha is that it will not establish a chazak of Gimel Shanim. Why does the Mishnah talk as in the general sense and picking specifically Yehuda and the Galil? Says the Gemara, HaKamash Malam. Oh, so that's what the Tanna is coming to teach us as we continue to Medbeis, and that is Reb Abba saying, in the name of Rav, the Stam Yehuda v'Galil, that in general we could assume any time Judea and the Galilee, even at a time of normative peace, Keshas, Cherem, Damu, are considered like a time of warring factions. In other words, that there's never, generally, caravans that go from one of Yehuda to Galil. Now, but in contrast that to other governments, that if there's a Cherem, if there's some type of war, so then there's not going to be a Chazaka. But at a time of peace, it would be a Chazaka because caravans are common. This that Reb Abba said, actually, that it's at a time of Cherem. What the Gemara is explaining now is that, no, Yehuda and Galil are like a time of Cherem of other governments. It doesn't mean specifically that they're always fighting Yehuda and Galil. It's just that people don't commonly go from one to the other. Like other countries, when they're fighting, that then it wouldn't be Chazaka because it wouldn't be Mechah because the word wouldn't get them. That's the same thing. Yehuda and Galil always has that halacha, and that's why the Tanna Kama of our Mishnah said that Yehuda, Galil, and Eber Yarden because of the other side of the Jordan, and Yehuda and Galil, since the generally they don't go one to the other, so the mechah wouldn't be a mechah, so the chazaka is not going to be a chazaka, even though generally mechah shalei b'fanav is have a mechah, it is a mechah, because usually the word gets, people travel, but from these two places, they don't normally travel. That the Gemara continues a related discussion. Another teaching, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rab. This time it's Rabbi Huda says the name of Rab. He says, Ein machzikin benichsei b'reach. A person cannot take possession, make a chazaka, in the property, in the real estate of someone who fled town. So in other words, if he did make a chazaka, it's not going to be a chazaka, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, because Rav holds that the mechash shalei b'fanav, the one who fled, who wherever he ran to as a fugitive, if he's going to make a protest, not in front of the guy who's taking possession of his land, it's not going to be a valid mecha. So as we said before, since it's not going to be a mecha, so therefore by default, the one who's making chazaka cannot be machzik. It's all based on why didn't the owner make a mecha. Now, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, as we'll shortly explain, who says in the Mishnah that the reason why you need to have 3 years is because that he should be there for 1 year. Then it's going to take a year to notify him, and then the year to come back, which sounds like, what is that third year for? What do you mean a year to come back? Is because it has to be in front of the guy who's being machzik. So therefore, Rav says, by the Berech, the guy who flees where he cannot be here, that's why he's a fugitive, so he can't be meicha, and if he can't be meicha, so he cannot be a chazaka by the nechze Berech. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Ki Amrita, when I said this teaching of Rav, Kamei de Shmuel, in front of Shmuel after Rav had passed on, because that's when Rabbi Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel, as we find in the Gemara in Chulin that Rav passed away before Shmuel, that as long as Rav was alive, Rabbi Yechon would send in front of our teachers in Bavel, and when Rav passed away, then he would send to Shmuel in front of our colleagues in Bavel. So then Rabbi Yehuda went, and after Rav passed away, he said over this teaching in front of Shmuel, and Amali says, Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel told me, what? What do you think that the Ma'ar has to protest and make a mecha in front of the one who's being ma'asik? It's not true. Shmuel disagreed. He says, actually, you do not have to make a mecha in front of the person, because a mecha shalei b'fanav is going to be a mecha, and therefore, since it is a valid mecha, so therefore the ma'asik is considered a valid chazaka, because the original owner should have protested. Now that the Gemara asks, so v'rav mai kamash mulan, so what was Rav teaching us? That mecha shalei b'fanav lo'av mecha, that he was holding not like Shmuel, that if you make a protest not in front of the person, as this guy who's a fugitive who cannot be here, it's not going to be mecha, and since it's not going to be mecha, it's not going to be a chazaka. And that has the Gemara, but v'amar Rav, we just quoted on Amat Aleph, the Rav said, mecha shalei b'fanav havi mecha, that a protest not in front of the person is going to be mecha, because Rabbi Abba said the name of Rav, that explaining the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, that he said, in truth, mecha shalei b'fanav is going to be mecha. And he explained the halacha of the Mishnah. So then, what's with Yehuda and Galil that we explained? Because it's like a Shas Cheir. Now, so therefore, the Gemara's question is: from the fact that Rav explained the opinion of the Tanakhama, it sounds like that's the way he holds. And if he holds like that, so how could he now be quoted as saying that Mechosh Lebevonim is Lohav Mecha? Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. Rav Taima the Tana Didan Kemefarish. Rav was just coming to explain the reasoning of the Tanakhama. Because we had this contradiction, seemingly, of the Reisha and the Seifa, where we don't understand. On the one hand, they made it sound like, even if, as long as you're in the same country, even if it's in the same province, even though it's Shalei Befanav, it's going to work. On the other hand, they made it sound like that it has to be Befanav, and that's why it's not going to work if he's in Yehuda and that's in the Galil. So, therefore, Rav just formulated to explain to you the halacha of the Tanakhama, which didn't make sense any other way, unless you explain like the way he was saying that, yes, Mecha Shalei Befanav is a Mecha, and therefore it doesn't have to be in the same, right in front of him, it can be in the same province. But Yehud and Galil, the reason why it's a problem is because it's like a Shas Cheirim. That's why it's a problem that they're in different provinces. But for Leilu, Svirulei, but that's what the Gemara answers. But Rav himself does not hold like the Tanakhama, rather he holds like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who holds that the guy has to come back, and that's why the 3 years is, 1 year to get him, 1 year to come back, and so on. That's why it's going to take 3 years. That's how Rav holds. And therefore it has to be Befanav, so by a fugitive who cannot be here, and therefore cannot be Meicha, so it cannot be a Chazak. That's one version. Vigadamri, those say an opposite version, that Amr Behudim Rav, Machzikim Benechzeberech. The Rav is quoted as saying that a person could take possession as a chazaka in the properties of a fugitive, because obviously this version holds that Mecha Shalei Befanav, even though it's not in front of him, the guy who is the fugitive would be a valid Mecha. And therefore he should have protested. And the fact that he didn't protest, so he loses, because since there are caravans that are common, so we assume we could testify that this fugitive most definitely heard about it from other people, that this guy had taken possession of his land from where he ran away from. And therefore he can't claim that I didn't know, and therefore I didn't protest. Because just like we explain always that a machah shalei b'fanav is a machah because chavra chavra is like, because, you know, one person tells another one that gets to that machzik, and therefore the machzik is going to end the hearing about the machah of the ma'ar, so the same thing works in the other way too. The original owner will have heard that this guy took possession of his property from one person telling another one, and he didn't protest, and therefore he's going to lose. Now, Rashbam just points out this, that it says in the Gemara that it's talking about a person could take possession of the properties of a fugitive. It's not necessarily just by a bereach. It really means anyone who has left and gone far away. It's just talking about the norm, because generally people do not take possession of other people's properties in a stolen way unless the guy ran away. So then they would take possession of it. So that's why the halachas are being mentioned regarding nechse bereach, but the concept is someone that's far away, according to this interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So he said that you could be machzik in it because the guy will hear about it and he could be meichesh lebefanav. So on that, this version says, ki amriti kameid Shmuel amali. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when I said over this teaching later on in front of Shmuel, he said to me, well, pshita, as he was quoted in the first version saying, obvious you can make a chazaka. What, do you think that the ma'ar has to be meichesh, make a protest right in front of the one who's being machzik? What do you mean? The Mishnah told us that there are three lands for chazaka. What we hear from that is that a mecha, shalei b'fanav, is going to be a mecha, and he should have protested. And from the fact that he didn't protest, so he lost. Because the idea is saying that in this land, no matter where you are, you can make a mecha. The other land, the Tanakhama said, not. Okay, that's because it's like there's a warring factions. But in general, you don't have to be right in front. Says Shmuel, that's an obvious halacha. What is Rav teaching us? That, but you could be machzik in nechz bereach because the mecha would be a mecha. Of course, we know that from the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, so v'rav mai k'mash malon. So actually, what is Rav teaching us? This halacha that he said that the person can make a chazaka in the properties of a fugitive, seemingly what he's coming to teach us, the chiddush of that is that mecha shalei b'fanav have mecha. Seemingly he's coming to tell us that, yeah, because a protest not right in front of the person would be considered a valid protest, and therefore he should have protested, and therefore the chazaka also shalei b'fanav without a mecha is going to be a chazaka. And that has the Gemara, b'bo amra rav chada zimna, according to the second version, it's asking not as a contradiction, but the Rav already said this one time, because Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel said the name of Rav on Omed Aleph, explaining the halacha of the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, that of course a mecha shalei b'fanav is a mecha. It's just that the problem with Yehuda and Galil is like it's kishas cherem. So we would assume that when Rav is explaining the anonymous Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that's the way he holds from the fact that he's explaining it. So therefore, we already know he holds mecha shalei b'fanav have mecha. What is he teaching us with this halacha of that you can be machzik b'nechse bereach? Says the Gemara, Elo ha-kamashman. But no, this is what Rav is coming to teach us. Even if the original owner protests in front of two people, which that's the required amount of people to protest in front of, that cannot even tell the machzik that he protested. So for example, let's say he goes in front of two people that are lame. They can't even walk. Or he tells the two people that are now going overseas and they're going very far away from the place of where this guy's being machzik in his field. And that, says Rav, that's what Rav's coming to teach us, that such a fugitive who is being moiche shalei b'fanav in front of two people that are never even going to get to that guy, that have mecha, that it's still going to be considered a valid protest. And that is why the halacha Rav tells us that someone could also take possession in the properties of the fugitive, because the mecha of the fugitive in such a situation would be a valid mecha, which is the requirement of allowing this to be considered valid chazaka. Now, although, and that's the question, that these people that he's telling are not even going to tell the machzik, but that's not a problem. Because as long as he tells two people, so they're leaving, but they have friends that they're going to tell before they leave or when they're here, and lame people that come to visit them, and their friends have friends and so on. So therefore, it's going to be a mecha because it will get to that guy who is being machzik into his ears. So therefore, as we said, the chazaka is also going to be a chazaka. Now, according to what the Gemara is saying over here, Shmuel, who asked the question on Rav, it's obvious what's Rav teaching us. What, do you think you need to tell us that halacha is that you can be mecha shalei b'fanav? We know that. This chiddush that the Gemara is telling you that Rav holds, it is a chiddush. On that, actually, Shmuel didn't entertain that idea. And therefore he asked, it's pretty obvious, what is Rav coming to teach us? And that's what the Gemara answers for Rav, that no, there is a chiddush, because if you're telling two people who even they themselves cannot tell, it's still going to be valid because of chavra chavra islay. Now that's according to the girsa of the Rashbam, who, as the Bach points out, would not be gerus the word da'amar avonim, because that would sound like it's actually continuing this idea. Rashbam has the Girsa as if it's Amar Rav Anan. Rav Anan, he actually comes to explain this answer that the Gemara gave for Rav, that it's coming to tell us this chiddush of that even if you're telling to two people who they themselves are not even going to end up being able to tell to the machzik, that it's still going to be a proper macha, and hence it could be a chazaka the other way around, that actually Shmuel does not hold of that. In other words, Shmuel asks Peshitta because he doesn't hold of the Gemara's answer, as the Gemara explains, and that's why he wondered, well, the halacha itself is pretty obvious. And neither could it be the chiddush of in front of two people that who can't say, because Shmuel doesn't hold that actually would be considered a valid chazaka. Because Rav Anan says, the didi mefarshli b'nei demar Shmuel. To me, it was explained to me from the master Shmuel that micha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam sheichon lemela, if he protests in front of two people that could end up telling to the one who is machzik that this guy's claiming that it's not yours, havi mecha, then it would be considered a valid protest. But if micha b'fnei shnei b'nei adam sheein yichon lemela, but if he protested in front of two people that can't even tell at them, let's say two lame people that can't get there, or two people that are going overseas very far away, actually Shmuel holds lo havi mecha, it would not be considered a valid mecha. So therefore, then you're back to the question. That's what Shmuel was asking. Well, it's obvious, and it can't be a case of when they can't get it, because actually then it wouldn't be mecha. But the Gemara tells him that Varav, he disagrees. Chavrach chavr isle. Your friend has his friend. V'chavr the chavrach chavr isle. And the friend of your friend, he has a friend. And therefore, even though the guy who you told it to cannot go and tell it to him, someone will ultimately, who tells will ultimately tell him. And therefore, Rav holds, it would be a valid mecha. And since it would be a valid mecha, and he's not meicha, so therefore it is a valid chazaka, so too in the nechasim of a bereich, even in the case where the fugitive would not be able to tell people that would go, but the people that they tell could tell other people who could ultimately tell other people to tell that person, and therefore it's a valid mecha to create a valid chazaka. Concludes the Gemara, Amar Rava. So the halacha of the halacha is, Ein machzikin b'nechsei bereich. One cannot take possession of through a chazaka in the properties of a fugitive. And the reason for that is because Rava paskins that mecha shalai b'fonim loy hav mecha. A protest not in front of the person who's being machzik is not going to be a valid mecha. And since the one who's contesting cannot protest because he's a fugitive and he's obviously a fugitive for a reason and he can't be here, so therefore, since he cannot be mecha, so the machzik also cannot be make a chazaka because it's all based on that he wasn't meicha and he can't be meicha because it's only befanav and he can't be befanav, that's why he's a fugitive. And moreover, says Rava, u'mecha shalei befanav hav mecha. A protest not in front of the machzik is a valid mecha, and therefore a chazaka, even when the guy's not here, like a fugitive, is going to be a chazaka. And therefore, a person could be machzik in the properties of a fugitive because the fugitive could protest. And for the fact that he didn't protest, it's going to be his loss. Now, that's what the Gemara asks. Tarti? How can you say both these ideas? Because that's a direct contradiction from the first statement he said to the second statement that he said. One of them is inferring mecha shle b'fanav is not a mecha, and that's why you can't be machzik b'nechsei bereich. And the next statement then says that mecha shle b'fanav is a mecha, and therefore you could be machzik b'nechsei bereich. Says the Gemara, actually, loy kasha, because they're talking about two different cases. Kan bereich machmas mamon. One of them is talking about that he's a fugitive, he ran away because of monetary matters. That's where Rava paskins the halacha that a mecha shalei b'fanav, that if the guy would make a protest not in front of the machzik, it would be a mecha, because there he could protest. Why is that? Because wherever he is, he could protest, because you're right, mecha shalei b'fanav is a mecha because the guy would end up hearing it as because of the concept of chavra chavra islay. Now, the idea of it is that because he could protest, so the chazaka of this other person in his properties would be a chazaka since he didn't protest. Now, why is that? Because since he ran away because of monetary matters, so the only reason why he ran away was because he just couldn't be here anymore. He had to get out of town until he had enough money to pay up. But he's not afraid of protesting. And the reason being is because since people see that obviously he's not just ignoring people, obviously he had no choice and therefore he had to run out of town because he didn't have money to pay back. So no one's going to run after him. And therefore, even if people find out where he is, because people are hearing where the protest is coming from, he's not concerned because people are not going to run after him. They realize the guy ran out of town for a reason, and they feel bad. In other words, they're not going to run after him. So therefore, there is a mecha shalei b'fanav is a mecha, and therefore, if someone was machzik in the nechsei bereich of who ran away because of money, and that's why he's a fugitive, would be considered chazaka. Kan bereich machmas mardin. The other case was talking about where he ran away because of murder, and that's where the mardin in Persian is the same root of the English word of murder, that is because of a case of murder. So there he's afraid to protest because maybe then people are going to hear where he is, where he's out in hiding. And then the redeemer of the guy who he had killed is going to come and run after him because he's all heated up and he wants to kill the guy who murdered his relative. That's a Rava Paskin that no, there you cannot take possession of a guy who ran away. And that's the halacha. Not because mecha shle b'fonav is lo have mecha. It would be a mecha. But you can't say that here he should have protested because then the word would have gotten. Because then the word would have gotten also where he's hiding out. And that's why he's a fugitive. In that situation, when he's a berech, machmas nefashis, machmas mardin, there you cannot take possession because there's obviously a reason, even if it really was his land, why he's not protesting because he doesn't want people to find out where he is. Then it's not going to be considered a chazaka in his field, even if the guy had it for more than 3 years. That resolves the contradiction in Rabbah's statements, if you could be machzik, but if it's berech or not, that is, he agrees to the concept of you could be Meicha Shaloi Bufanov, and therefore it's going to be by Berech Machmas Mammon, where he's not afraid of people finding out where he is. And since it's going to be Mecha, and if he's not Meicha, it's going to be Chazaka. In contrast to Machmas Mardin, where there you cannot be Machzik, Benichse Berech, again, because there's a reason why he's not being Meicha. It does not prove, which is the indicator of the Chazaka, that he's not the rightful owner. It could be he is, he just doesn't want people to find out where he is.